our Imperius leader.
Sorry.
By your command.
What track was this, anyways? Is it a good shift or a bad shift? I don't mean to disturb you, but what do you think about the series so far? I think it's pretty good so far. I don't think he's had two words. He's had more of Dream Sequence than he has. Now see, I don't think they would get away with that scene in if they showed it on NBC. Yeah, where they filmed it. Special now. Hey, is your show podcasted too? I don't want to call you a Puerto Rican. Some biodegradable. I did just scrap the whole NASA project. Maybe it's DeLorean. Thank you.
I'm
So you want to play later. Is it 25? Tire? A tire? Oh, a tire.
Thank you. Blog and News Network is a website where bloggers of all types and descriptions write up their own opinions on the news or news analysis and sometimes breaking news, post them all in a central location where we can all read them and enjoy them.
Okay.
Yeah, was established February 25th, 2005. You mean not a gate? You can probably assess my basic opinion from the label I just gave it. I really don't think there's much of a story there. It seems, admittedly, from my limited point of view, it seems like a case of a government official and a reporter talking to each other and being relatively honest, and something maybe that shouldn't have gotten out getting out, but there doesn't seem to be any evidence of any real wrongdoing. Well, there's a view in a lot of members of the media that they don't have to cooperate with legal investigation, and I can certainly understand that point of view. But basically, we've established in the law that that's not the case. That when the prosecutors start looking around for stuff, you've pretty much got to either let your sources go or go to jail. Those are your, pretty much your choices. Okay. Well, the reaction there has been actually a little surprising to me. I was expecting a bit more of a Spanish scenario, where we saw a little more, oh, what have we done so terribly wrong to deserve this on the part of the government, but they have not done that. There's been a bit more of a blitz, stiff upper lip kind of mentality.
Well,
and that's heartening to me. Yeah, it's, you know, it that was a very tragic incident. I'm pretty sure the police involved probably all feel terrible about it. You know, if you're in a city that has just been bombed and you're wearing a heavy coat in summer, and the cops say, "Hey, you, stop a minute," and you bolt over a turnstile and run into a train, man, you know, I'm awful sorry for his family and I'm sorry for him. It's probably just a moment of real bad judgment. More or less. Well, technically we've got about 130, I think. Realistically, maybe 25 or 30 of those people are really highly active. Yeah, now that's an interesting story. I have a friend who is an employee of a local of the Service Employees International Union, and they are really I don't want to say radical, but they're pretty hardcore in their union activities. And I think there's been a lot of dissent within the union movement that. You get one part of the union movement saying, "Hey, you know, let's be Democrats. Let's support the Democratic Party, and we're not going to necessarily expect them to do anything for us. We're just going to stand with them against the evil Republicans." And then you get more of a hard edge faction, which is more, you know, "No, we want this and we want that. And if the Democrats won't do it for us, then we'll go find someone else." And SEIU and the other one, they're very much in that hardcore camp. Well, there'd be an awful lot of governments in the Middle East that would have to come up with some other excuse for why their people are poor and why they have no freedom. That would be one major thing that would have to change. Because right now, Israel is the whipping boy for every despotic third world thugocracy out there, because they can tell the people, "Oh, it's Israel's fault. Israel is why you're poor." Yeah, it would be the next. Well, you hear a little bit. It's usually on the inside track. It's not something that gets publicized a lot, because when you have an ally or a semi-ally, it's usually not a good idea to take your quarrels into the public arena. But yeah, you know, they have, and especially incidents like the Pueblo, I forget the name of the ship. There was a ship in the Mediterranean that Israel attacked, actually, and that turned into a huge public relations disaster for both countries. Right. Yeah, that's true. I'm having a little hard time hearing you, Sean.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, just a bit. That's better.
Yeah.
Oh, that's one of our writers who has a little bit of an off sense of humor. I thought that was pretty funny myself, that one. She's talking about the blister pack and how it's just impossible to get into the darn things, and Yeah, it's not news, but boy, it's true.
And I know it's a moral picture, but they are only buying the cheap ones at Walmart for $2. I'm talking Android toothbrushes, because it's just hate for them, and they aren't going to the press. I mean, that's Colgate, you know what I mean?
Yep, I hear you. And, yeah, those blisters are, they're something.
Yeah.
I worked in a mailroom once as a younger man, and every mail clerk and administrative person in the world hates Tyvek envelopes for the same reason that people hate blister packs. Because you basically need a flamethrower to get the freaking thing open. It drives you nuts.
Yeah. I was just talking about Barry Allen. It's that Barry Allen popped by and popped, you know,
That story that Dan Reel turned in.
Yeah,
I'm trying to find that one for you. Well, it could be. You know, I really hate to speculate because there's a family involved. Now Dan has updated that story to say that it doesn't. It looks like it's probably not a piece of clothing. I can't imagine being in that situation.
Not at all.
That's horrible. Yeah, what are we going to do without Lance? He's the Iron Man of bicycling, and without him, they're going to have to find somebody else to... Well, A, the French are going to have to find somebody else to curse and shake their fists at, although I think they like him secretly. You'd think that. I forget who said it, but someone made a notation that, unlike a lot of other sports, bicycling fans tend to be very active in bicycling themselves. And they don't really watch the race on TV, because usually any day where there's a race, it's a nice day. They're out riding their bikes.
There's
kind of a weaker demographic there for them. That's right, the Liberty. Thank you, Trevor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was in the 90s.
But
there certainly seems to be an upswing in what they're trying to do around the world. I don't really know. It could be a case where this is a sign of their growing strength and that they're getting a lot more recruits. Or this could be a sign of desperation that, you know, they're not thinking in the long term. They're basically saying, we've got a bomb, we've got a place to put it, go put it out there and get our name in the papers. Let's get our message out there. You know, when you've got an organization like that, you're either thinking about the long term and trying to have a sustained ability to conduct a campaign, and in that case, you might not be using everything you've got, and then at the other hand, when you get desperate, that's when you start I got eight guys, I've got nine bombs, fine. Well, let's go. Send them all out. Yep, there's definitely a human tendency that, you know, when we see our leader under siege, sometimes it weakens him, and when then we're attacked, and even if he has, you know, if he's just standing there. Look what happened to Bush at 9/11. Leadership wasn't bad at that point in time, but suddenly he became much more popular, and that's not really about him. That's just about our complex emotional relationship with our government. Couldn't tell you. Right. It would be a good thing for those little countries, that's for sure. Well, I think that he was an inspired pick. He's personable. He gives the impression of being a real moderate guy and a real, not a centrist, and he's definitely a conservative, but he's not a bomb-throwing conservative. And he's also very keenly designed to really irritate a certain element of the hard left and really cause them to agitate against him. I've been reading a lot of commentary on hardcore feminist and hardcore pro-abortion blogs where they're just going nuts over this guy. And the more they push for him, you know, to be fought against by the Democrats, the more pressure they put on them, it's going to end up, he's going to get in, you know, cakewalk, and it's going to damage everybody who tries to fight him, which is going to weaken them for the next Supreme Court nominee, who I'm suspecting is going to be someone who's more conservative than he is. Yeah, that could be the plan. Although, I'm not so sure that he needs that much coverage on Bolton, because the people are essentially on the side of the president in terms of who he wants to appoint for positions like that. You know, and the fact that Bolton doesn't really like the UN, well, that shocks and horrifies a certain set of editorial writers, but most Americans don't like the UN either, and we think it's a great idea to send somebody who thinks that we should empty the whole thing out and turn it into a hotel. Yeah, I hear you. Yes, you did. There's another set of unions that might break off as well.
Really?
Yeah, it could end up being almost a third of the AFL-CIO going away and going independent. Well, it is important to remember that in most parts of the country there isn't a housing boom or a housing bubble. know, it's generally in a fairly small area where the values are going up, up, up. Everywhere else, houses are doing fine, and people who've got real estate investments are doing okay. But they're down appreciating 20% a year. Usually when you see a price curve like that, it's the result of some kind of environmental regulation or zoning ordinance that restricts building. And when you've got an existing city and you say, hey, you can't build anything new, well, of course, everything starts to get more and more expensive. I'm all for it. You know, the Supreme Court has lost touch with an essential American value, and that is that something like the old school of eminent domain, where if you're building a freeway, yeah, you can take somebody's house and make them sell it to you. And, you know, that's not a great thing, but it's really the only way that a government can build roads, can build things that it has to have.
Yeah.
And most of us, we're willing to accept that, because for one thing, it's part of the political process. You can see it happening. You can talk to your congressman. You know, you can do whatever. But the idea that a government can hand your property over to another private individual, It's outrageous.
Yeah.
It's absolutely outrageous.
Yeah, I think it's crazy. I know the Congressman's trying to work for some kind of bill to pass that to make it more difficult.
They're going to do something that looks good and makes a difference in a few marginal cases, but for the most part, it's a local and state issue.
Yeah.
And it's localities and states where the people are going to have to let their representatives know, hey, if you guys are pulling this kind of garbage, you're going to be looking for a new job come November. All right. What else do you need? Yeah, that's very true. No, definitely. People should spend days on Blogger News Network. And click on all the ads, too. Looking forward to hearing from him. Thanks for having me on, Sean. It's always a pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity to come talk news with you. You have a great day now. Bye.
Did you watch the premiere, the show that was on Fox? Oh, did you watch that Firefly, I think it was?
Yeah.
Hey, it's Aaron Douglas calling. Hey, not at all. How you doing? I am actually at GateCon. I'm sitting in the green room as we speak. Oh, the Olympic Garden. Tears in my eyes, really. Tears in my eyes. Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. It was good. It was fun to shoot. And, if you liked episode 1 and 2, episode 3 is going to blow your mind.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Episode 3 is so much fun. I saw it without the special effects and everything like that, and it just is, it's everything. It's very Saving Private Ryan, sort of. It's crazy.
Yeah, because there are people like, where, kind of, they
Absolutely. Well, they're nominated for two of them. Michael Hogan's the best thing about these first two episodes.
Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, no, he's a tremendous actor, and they've given him some great stuff to do for sure. Well, I certainly like the things that I've been able to do in the first. We just finished episode 10 last week. We got a month off right now. We go back August 17th for the last, the second 10 of season 2. And yeah, no, absolutely. You know, you get some episodes where you have a lot to do, and some episodes where you don't have so much to do. But the writers, Ron Moore and his staff, have done such an amazing job, and they've given everybody some really cool stuff to do, and me in particular. There's a couple episodes that really sort of focus on the Tyrell character, and he has some really challenging moments, and he has some really fun moments and some amazing stuff. And there was episode 9. I read it at home, and I was stunned. I sat there stunned, and I sent an email off to Bradley Thompson and David Weddle, who wrote the episode, and I'm just like, you guys have honored me with this amazing script. Thank you so much. And then we shot it, and it was just, it's going to turn out so well. Michael Nankin was the director, and he did a phenomenal job. So I'm really excited about seeing that. I got some really great things to do. Everybody's been really good to me, so I'm very happy. It really has the feel of Private Ryan, and it's funny because episode 3 was directed by Sergio Mimic Kazan, who was the first AD for Steven Spielberg for his last 8 feature films, excluding War of the Worlds, I think. But yeah, no, he's like his guy. So it was a treat to work with Sergio, and he brought, episode 3 is really running and shooting and running and shooting, and you know, just that sort of the horror of war and dealing with those extreme situations in that sort of battlefield moment type thing, and it's amazing. I mean, he really brought a lot of what he learned working with Steven and the same similar kind of shots and ideas and feel and the shuttery camera effect and all that sort of stuff. I mean, it's really, I think it's great. It's one of my favorite episodes. I get to do some really cool stuff, so that sort of helps. But yeah, well, the other thing is Alonzo's a very good friend of mine, so it's not too hard, not too far to go when you're sort of talking to him. He's a great actor, and when you talk to him, it's the death of Tyrell's friend, but if I sort of put myself in my own shoes, it's the death of my friend Alonzo, and that's a sad place to be. So, yeah, no, Tyrell's going through a lot of stuff. Yeah. Um, of the three Raptors that jumped to Kobol,
yeah.
one jumped back to the ship,
okay.
One got obliterated in space.
Okay.
It landed, it's like, that. There's that great shot in episode, 12,
mm-hmm.
where they land, where we jump, and the one guy looks out, it's like, looks out the passenger side window, and they've just pulled into the intersection, and these Raiders just blow right into them. I thought it was such a great shot. And yeah, no, that Raptor gets completely obliterated. And we get shot, we crash land on the planet, one goes back to the ship and the other one gets blown up in space.
Okay.
So there's just us. Going out and doing stuff on location?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's nice to sort of get out of the studio. It's summertime. The studio's, you know, the air conditioning gets turned on and off because we're actually shooting. When they're shooting, they can't have the air conditioning on because it makes too much noise.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, so you get studios that get really, really hot. And it's also nice just to get out and run around in the woods. And Kobol, the place that they use for Kobol is, that big open field stuff is a place called Wigeon Park, which is, an hour and a half from downtown Vancouver, up over a logging road, down into this marshy land. And it is the most scenic, beautiful place that you can imagine. And it's a wonderful place to just sort of, when you're not shooting, you just walk away from the set and sit on a log and watch the eagles swoop down and take fish. I mean, it really is. There's bears, there's deer. I mean, it is it's nature an hour and a half from the city. It's a wonderful place to be. Oh yeah, no, absolutely, yeah. It's the best thing is to not have a couple scenes to shoot, but still be there because you can just go wander around the rainforest and hang out with the deer and throw stuff at the bears.
Yeah.
Oh no, you run like heck. You get the heck out of the way for sure. Have I gone singing with Dickie Klein? Yeah, you know what, a bunch of the cast does, and that's, you know what, something that we haven't done yet. We haven't had like cast karaoke night, but we need to do that because I sing too. I do, my big thing is like Tony Bennett, Sinatra, show tunes type stuff, and old crooners. I don't know what Nikki sings, but Eddie sings, Mary sings. Actually, we were having a conversation about this about 3 weeks ago. Eddie, Mary, and I were talking about our go-to karaoke song. If somebody said, you got one song to bring down the house, what would it be? We were having this conversation. What would mine be?
Yeah.
Probably Left My Heart in San Francisco or New York, New York.
There you go. Wow.
Almost said he would sing something from Al Green.
Really?
Yeah. No, Holiday from Madonna. Now, Mary's was, oh, what the heck was Mary's? It was, I don't remember. I'll have to ask her again. Oh, you have no idea. I go to Vegas all the time and be all over that. Are you at Caesars? Oh, Caesars is great. Oh, absolutely. Totally. The Gardens is, I am so excited about going there on my next trip because apparently there's somebody in Vegas that has a radio show that's going to be able to help me out with some stuff. That's right. I was down for my brother's birthday, but we never ended up going there. We got lost in a fog of gambling and silliness. To be honest, I get off a plane, and then before I know it, I'm back on a plane, and the 3-4 days in between is just a fog. You have which? have a woman there with three of my children. I thought I only had two with her. The last one's not mine, I swear to God. Yeah. No, it's Tom was the father of all children. Hey, I got some of the other cast here. You want to talk to them? I got Tomo, I got Paul, and I got Alonzo. Who do you want to talk to? All right, hang on a second. Hello, Las Vegas. It's Paul Campbell. Hey, fantastic. How's it going over there? I'm doing fantastic. I'm still around, so I got nothing to complain about. Dodged a few bullets here and there.
Don't give away the storyline.
I'm gonna head to a quieter neck of this wood. Just one sec here. These conferences, you know how they are. Holy Christ, did you have a good time talking to Douglas? That guy's something, isn't he? Yeah, sorry, say one more time. No worries, the Sci-Fi Channel doesn't pay too much attention to me, I gotta be perfectly honest with you. That's right, man. I'm back for the season, and I'm kicking ass as usual. I'm not going to lie to you. It's pretty fun writing. They give me a lot of really good stuff, and it's an interesting character. I don't really get the hero shots, and I don't get to do that fun stuff. But yeah, it's pretty damn good. And you know, working with Mary McDonnell is more than any young up and coming actor could ever ask for. I mean, she's just ridiculous. So I couldn't be happier with what they're giving me. Before I blew my junk off? It was it's pretty harrowing. Yeah. If I could go ahead and use that word, if you don't mind, harrowing. I'm gonna say it again one more time, harrowing. Yeah. I think it was harrowing.
I got to. I played a woman, and I was the hero.
What's that? Stop drinking or drink more. Damn it, man. Vegas is coming down on the man in the hallway with a colored carpet. 3-1 cocktail.
I didn't know Christopher Walken was there.
Yeah, Christopher Walken's here. Christopher Walken did an episode of Stargate. Who farted?
Hey, are you comfortable?
Sorry, someone just tore one.
Are you comfortable in your kissing scenes?
Sorry, say one more time. Am I comfortable kissing Candace McClure? Would you be?
No.
You wouldn't be comfortable kissing Candace McClure?
No.
Oh, I hear you. I wouldn't kiss almost. I'd probably lay one down on Mary if she let me. Two-time Academy Award, man. She's my mother. I'd lay one on my mother, too. What the snap? I'll put Paul back on the phone. Just one sec. Hey, sorry about that. Douglas is a real fucker. Oh, sorry. I ran a little fun here. Hey, why don't I pass you over to Tomo? He's chasing around here. You want to talk to Hilo here? He's the real hero. All right, good chat. Here he is. Hey guys, what's happening? Of course, how you been? Excellent. Excellent. You guys liking that?
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. I'm originally from the Yukon, yeah. What? So far it's been good. The ball's waiting. I got shoes thrown at me right now. We got the reaction's been good. Yeah. But the problem is we don't it hasn't been aired here, right? We don't even get it till January.
Damn.
So the people who have seen it are the ones from the States. Are you cut out there for a second? Oh, these guys are getting crazy. They're throwing flip-flops at me right now. I'm trying to get them to stop. Trust me. Who else what? Starbucks World, that was all done by her. Yeah, I got asked that question today. No, she did that. She went in there the day before. It's supposed to be her place, right? So she actually went in there and she did all that artwork. She did the poetry, the whole thing. Say it again? Oh, man, you're going to go bad. Hey, you guys, listen to me. It was great talking to you. I'm going to have to pass you off right now because you're barely here, and I got these guys throwing ice at me. Just wait. Hello? Hey, Darren, sorry about that. We were having a flip-flop fight. No, absolutely, yeah. No. Tom got on the phone and we all kicked off our flip-flops and started throwing them at him. Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. I hate him for moving into my boomer. Yeah. No, I think Eddie's got ideas about that. He wants to have a spinoff. It's called Callie and the Commander. Oh God, I hope not. Cyril's like father figure to Callie, so I hope that doesn't go anywhere. Awkward. Cyril and Laura. Oh, a beautiful Academy Award nominee. God, I'd take that any day. She's sweet as sweet can be. She's a wonderful woman. Cool. Thanks, dude. No worries. Talk to you soon. Take care. So.
Yes, I did. I'm going to go to the next one.